Hello, everybody. This is the presentation for the DEPCON 14-bit from Patty Langersack, Steve... Well, the
DEPCON 14?
Oh, yeah, it was not a bit anymore. I think it was decided.
And you can't take it back. The decision is final.
Steve and Keith Packer.
Yeah, we're not doing this in Seattle. Sorry,
please,
guys.
Please give a warm welcome to the three.
No.
And their bit.
So, next August, we're going to be in Portland. There's a lot that we can say about Portland. I'm sure a lot of you have heard a lot about Portland if you haven't been there yet. The television show Portlandia has done an excellent job of describing so much about the city and giving us a good idea of what to expect when you get there. So I thought I would share with you the work that they have already done to describe Portland, because nobody can do it any better than they have.
We have prepared a short documentary for you to enjoy, to understand Portland.
Good boy. All right.
Melanie.
Oh, hey, Jason.
Hey, what's going on?
Not much. I didn't know you were back in L.A.
Yeah, yeah. Had a pretty amazing trip. I mean, it was unreal.
Really? I can't wait to hear about it.
No, I have, like, a lot to tell you.
What is it?
Come on. Do you remember the 90s?
Yeah.
You know, people were talking about getting piercings and getting tribal tattoos.
Yeah.
And people were singing about saving the planet and forming bands.
Yeah.
There's a place where that idea still exists as a reality, and I've been there.
Where is it?
Portland.
Oregon?
Yeah. Dream of the 90s.
Portland, Portland, Portland. The dream of the 90s is alive. Portland, Portland. The tattoo ink never runs dry.
Remember when people were content to be unambitious, sleep till 11, and just hang out with their friends? I mean, they had no occupations whatsoever, maybe working a couple hours a week at a coffee shop.
Right, I thought that died out a long time ago.
Not in Portland. Portland is a city where young people go to retire.
Dream of the 90s is alive, Portland. All the hot girls wear glasses.
Yeah.
Remember in the 90s when they encouraged you to be weird? It was just an amazing time where people would go to see something like the Jim Rose Sideshow Circus and watch someone hang something from their penis. You could grow up to want to be a clown. Like, people went to clown school.
I gave up clowning years ago.
Well, in Portland, you don't have to.
Dream of the 90s is alive, Portland. The dream of the 90s is alive in Portland.
The dream is alive.
So from what I can surmise, from what you're positing, it's like Portland's almost an alternative universe. It's like Gore One. The Bush administration never happened.
Exactly.
In Portland, it's almost like cars don't exist, right?
Yes.
People ride bikes or double-decker bikes. They ride unicycles.
Yes.
They ride the tram. They ride skateboards.
Yes.
Dream of the 90s is alive in Portland.
My flannel shirt still looks wide.
The dream of the 90s is alive, Portland, Portland. The dream of the 90s is alive in Portland, Portland.
Portland, you can go to like a record store and sell your CDs.
Turn that dirty clown frown right upside down.
Portland, you can put a bird on something and just call it art.
The dream of the 90s is alive, Portland, Portland. The dream of the 90s.
I made it.
Yeah, you're a little late.
Sorry.
You're also a little San Francisco right now, if you know what I mean. I'm trying to. Sorry. Much better. Welcome to Portland.
Thank you.
The dream of the 90s is alive in Portland.
So we expect the same kind of introduction for the DEPCON 5, or the DEPCON 15 bit. Whoever wins that next year, you're going to need to do this. You need to get yourself a documentary comedy about the city.
Casting for that, by the way, is ridiculously easy. You just walk down the street.
Yeah. All those people, except for the two leads, those people were not actors. Those are all actual performers from Portland.
The Portland Gaiman's Chorus.
That's right.
All right, so who are we? Well, Portland has seven more in the city itself, active Debian developers. Clearly we have a high number of Debian developers and aficionados in Portland. I thought you edited my slides.
I thought you knew what you were doing and you rewrote it.
The city is very supportive of open source in general as well. The venue that we've chosen, as I'm going to discuss, or we're going to discuss, I guess, later, it runs on open source software and is very excited to host us. So our advanced team, in other words, those of us who are in Portland and actually know what's going on, include all of these wonderful people, except for these two at the bottom, Noodles, who is not here this year, and Allison. Noodles is in San Francisco, Alice is in Seattle. For all intents and purposes, same thing right now.
We have a very broad definition of local for the purposes of the local team, which is good.
Yeah, by the way, if you talk to Noodles before I do, please don't tell him I said that. Yet. Thanks.
An apologies to Gerald if he's watching this video for misspelling his last name.
Oops. Do we know what we're getting into? Yeah, I think so. I mean, Steve and I, Jonathan, have been involved in DebConf organization before. Keith, Case, Pietro Vagrant have all attended many DebConfs. And Allison and Brenna have been involved in other open source conference organizations in the past. So we're all pretty confident and comfortable with what's coming in. We'll see if that continues. Who knows? You know, you don't know what's going to happen. And we have a lot of breweries in Portland. We have 51 unique microbreweries in Portland itself. When you add our suburbs, we have 69, and not another 69. We have 69 altogether for the metro area, and we have the Oregon Brewers Festival each year in July. So we'll be plenty happy by the time August comes. We'll be fine. So where is Portland? Well, as you know, we're in the United States, but I've come to find out that not everybody actually knows all about the states in the United States. We only have 50 of them. Oregon is on the West Coast. That's where we're going to be. Portland itself is nestled in that little corner there between two mountain valleys, or between two mountain ranges and then two rivers. So we're gonna have the, and this is gonna be important for later, the Columbia River, running between Washington and Oregon. We are going to be in Oregon, not Washington. And the Willamette River.
Not Willamette.
This is very important. Willamette River that runs north to south and is going to separate Portland in kind of half.
Cool half from the business half.
Yeah, we'll be in the cool half.
No, we'll be in the business half.
The cool half is only a couple of blocks.
Oops. So, and most importantly, Oregon is the end of the Oregon Trail. So if you made it there, you didn't die of dysentery.
It's kind of a U.S.-specific educational reference there. So anyway.
Oh, my best joke died. So we are the third largest city in the Pacific Northwest region. Am I really having... I am not incompetent with mics, is it... It's good? Okay.
No.
Well, there's...
So, Seattle and San...
That's for you, though.
Okay. Seattle and San Francisco are larger than Portland. I think I'm okay. You know what? I'll keep this as a backup. Seattle and San Francisco, just in case I decide to do a little karaoke later. Seattle and San Francisco are larger than Portland. Vancouver is technically Seattle isn't, or San Francisco isn't in the Pacific Northwest. We still claim it because they're cool and the rest of California isn't. Regardless, Portland is better than both of them. City size is pretty small. It's a smaller city, but we still have a lot to offer. And we have a lot of names for Portland because we love it so much.
Which tells you a lot about the city. It is the City of Roses, with a nice little garden you can visit, open free to the public. It's also Bridgetown. It's so called because of it, the number of bridges that cross the river that runs through the city, as well as, in addition to the bridges, all of which I believe, well, I think all of the eight have pedestrian walkways. There's
not the freeway bridges.
Not the freeway bridges, which I guess are included in that eight. So there's a couple of freeway bridges which are not pedestrian friendly, but all the others that run through downtown, you can cross them on foot, you can cross them on bike.
You can cross them on unicycle.
You can.
And people do.
While playing the bagpipes. And as well, on the west side of the river, we have the Tom McCall Waterfront Park, which is a very nice public green space with walking and cycling paths. Usually in the summer, there's events every weekend. I don't know this far ahead what might be there in August when we're having DebConf.
They haven't published the calendar yet, I tried.
But chances are there's going to be some sort of festivals, music, that sort of thing going on down there as well. So
we celebrate everything.
Yes, we use our 3 months of sunshine well.
We're also called Stumptown. It's residual from when Portland was actually settled. Settlers came in and basically cleared a bunch of trees but didn't take the stumps out. So history says people had actually jumped from stump to stump to get through the marshes. Also, it's the name of one of our better coffee roasters. By the way, we have a lot of coffee roasters in Portland. We like our coffee. You'll find any kind of coffee you want. Most of it free trade. We are also called Beervana, for obvious reasons. So one of the concerns that we've heard voiced is that it rains in Portland a lot. This is what we tell the Californians so they stay in California. We do have pretty wet winters. 5 months, 4 or 5 months? Seven, 8 months, whatever. We have pretty wet winters. We don't get a whole lot of snowfall. When it does snow, it's pretty hysterical because the entire city metro area shuts down for however long the snow is on the ground. Only takes, a couple centimeters? Whole thing shuts down. Our summers, however, are pretty dry and warm. We do get light rainfall occasionally. It's infrequent. It's usually at night. So I do have temperature graphs to give you an idea of what you're looking at. I would like you to notice the huge difference between the warm and the cool. There really is that much of a difference between warm and cool. It's much like what you've been experiencing here in Switzerland. You will want to wear layers. You will want to have a jacket nearby. And since we don't get any rain in the summer because we're Portlanders and we miss it, we have plenty of fountains to make up for that, and you will see people in the summer near the water almost all the time. So, what else can we do? Apparently, the Rose Gardens weren't enough. Well, we do have Powell's Books and Powell's Technical, the Portland Children's Museum. We have the Oregon Zoo plus the Portland Art Museum. We do have the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry. Plus, we have all sorts of parks, parks and recreation all over the city for hiking. The Chinese gardens, Japanese gardens are member-driven parks that are very, very gorgeous for walking around, meditating, whatever you need to do.
Yeah, Portland also claims to have the largest park within the city limits of any states, within the city limits of any city in the United States, although that's been contested more recently, but Forest Park on the west side. Not the closest thing to downtown in Portland State University campus, but it's a very nice park. It's called Forest Park because it is a park which is also a forest. It's very nice that way. It lives up to its name. Lots of green spaces all throughout the city.
And of course, we have beer and wine. So there's plenty to do in Portland. Most people are going to find something to make them happy. If they don't, please talk to me because I want to study you. So. Well, who's going to host a conference in Portland, besides us, of course? Lots of people have hosted conferences in Portland.
Hey, where's my ex-conference?
Huh?
You're harsh.
They aren't all still there. Some of them rotate now, but it's been very favorable, especially for open source.
I think it's worth mentioning that, in fact, the venue we have over at Portland State University was previously used as the venue for a plumbers conference a few years ago. So Linux plumbers used the same space on PSU campus, and that worked very well. I think people were happy with it, and so that also means that the venue staff are familiar with our sort of people.
And they have also challenged us to make this difficult for them. So they think the plumbers conference, if they could handle that, they can handle everything. So challenge extended, guys.
I think kernel developers in general have simpler network requirements than we might, but we'll see.
We kept trying to say, no, really, I don't think you understand. Yeah, no, we're fine. Okay.
So bring all the devices. Do all the apt-get upgrades.
So we are going to be at Portland State University. Motto is let knowledge serve the city. It is very much open source driven. It's very philanthropic. They very much encourage community service, and in fact there are, I do believe, degree programs that require community service. It's downtown. What?
Speed it up. We've got a lot of slides to get through.
Okay, it's downtown, very green, awesome. So where will we stay while we're at a university? So we have negotiated some very modest, comfortable accommodations, which I think everybody will appreciate. Whoops.
Oh no, that's the wrong picture. Where did that picture come from? Let's show the real pictures now.
That's where we're staying, Steve.
So we will be staying in the student housing. They are double rooms, so you will have two people per room. Some of them have kitchenettes, and kitchenette means small kitchen. They really are small, but they're there. And the bathrooms are shared by no more than two rooms. So you'll have most of the rooms, like a hotel, will have its own bathroom facility. Some will have suite arrangements where two rooms will share one bathroom.
So it's no more than four people per room, and I think the rooms that have the kitchenettes are also the ones that share the bathrooms for the most part. So either two or four, or either one or three people sharing the space with you.
So when I saw these pictures online, I thought they were lying to us. I thought there was no way that a student dorm could actually look like this, because I've stayed in dorms and that's not the kind of dorm I stayed in.
You stayed in dorms in New York, do you remember?
I don't believe I stayed in a dorm in New York.
Oh, they were comfortable.
So these rooms, they're really like small hotel rooms. They're really nice. They will have two desks available, so if you need to store your things or if you need to do some late night private
packing. And importantly, Ethernet
drops.
And importantly, they will also have Ethernet drops. So there will be Internet access available to everybody in the rooms. I think I actually don't remember if it's both Ethernet and wireless. Or
it's wireless everywhere.
Wireless everywhere, and I think there are all Ethernet
drops. I'm not
sure what
that was.
What's that?
That's actually the outside of the building. Oh, sure, you skipped past my slides.
Okay, so food and leisure. The sponsored food will be done by the university catering. From what I understand, it's actually really good food, which it would have to be to compete with the massive amount of good food around the university. It will be buffet style, and being in Portland means that they will cater to pretty much any special dietary requirement you have. It's, I think, pretty hard to find a special dietary requirement that cannot be accommodated.
Yeah, so they're going to be very accommodating, and basically the process is just going to be we have to give them estimates of how much food to prepare for each ahead of time, and there will be no problems accommodating everybody.
Right.
We'll be fine.
So the University Recreation Center is also going to be available for our use. It will have specific hours. You can't drink in the rec center. While welcomed on the campus. They do ask that there's no more than 10 children to one adult, especially
which means so between that in, so between that and the no drinking,
we
will
sure
not have a repeat of Nicaragua.
For you.
No drinking, no more than 10 children per adult, so it's not going to be a repeat of Nicaragua, basically.
Off-site accommodations, there are lots of hotels in the area, especially along the waterfront. There are some pretty swank hotels. University Place, Hotel 50, the Marriott. University Place will be the one that we negotiate special room rates for, so that'll be the one you want to focus on.
I'm for the Exorg Developers Conference this September. I got a room rate of $77 per night for a double room.
At University?
Yeah, University Place, yeah.
It was pretty nice, wasn't it?
Yeah, reasonable hotel rooms, free American breakfast. But there's also real food available in the rest of the city.
Speaking of real food, off-site, there are lots of food carts. I was a little bit hesitant to try one the first few times I was downtown, but no, really, they're good. They have real food. There are also many, many pubs, and of course any restaurant. There are lots of restaurants in the area. We like our food. So, eating, drinking, sleeping, I think we're forgetting something.
Donuts.
Right, conference menu. So we'll be at the Smith Memorial Union. Which is where they hosted Linux Plumbers Conf a few years ago.
For the first two years.
We'll pretty much have run of the full facility, so we'll need to decide which rooms we want to grab. The ballroom, which is in the lower left-hand corner over there, actually attaches to the Vanport room, which is this room over here, via balcony. You can kind of see the windows there. That's actually a really nice balcony that has workspace out there as well.
Next slide.
So you can get out. Oh, I'm supposed to keep going. Okay. So we have more pictures of the conference center.
Oh, there we go. Yes.
Oh.
There's your balcony right there. It overlooks the park. The park is a city park which also has complete Wi-Fi coverage as well. It won't be the same. We probably will not be able to change the infrastructure to do any sort of DevConf specific wireless in the park. However, you'll be able to get to the university standard university wireless from the park and you know enjoy yourselves in the park, sit on the balcony, which is right behind the hack lab and so forth. So.
All right. So how are we going to get there? Plane, train, automobile. Plane, we do have an international airport. We also have easy hops with SeaTac, the Seattle-Tacoma International Airport.
And Vancouver, actually.
I usually fly through Vancouver.
Sorry, I usually fly either through Vancouver or Seattle. The only flight to Portland from Europe is from Amsterdam. The only flight to Portland from Asia is from Narita.
However, both Vancouver and Seattle are close enough hops that it's just like any sort of short haul within Europe or anything else. So,
right.
Train, we do have Amtrak that travels the entire West Coast. It's not as fast as what you guys are used to in Europe. But you can do it. You can do it.
The question was how often the trip down from Vancouver takes about 6 hours, and I think there are several departures a day, but it's a six-hour trip, so.
We also have two major interstates that intersect in Portland, so if you're going to drive, it's pretty easy to get there. And then to get to Portland State University from the airport, I'm going to concentrate on that because I think most people are going to be arriving from the airport. We have what's called the light rail or MAX train that connects most of Portland, so it drops off at the airport. One of the lines drops off at the airport. So basically, you just hop on the MAX, and then there's a transfer to the yellow line downtown. It's a big transfer station. You'll even know where it is. Cost is pretty cheap to get from the airport to downtown. TriMet, you can go to the website trimet.org to find more public transportation places you can go to get anywhere in Portland.
And it's the same price for tickets anywhere in the city, so getting there from the train station is the same story. The train station is actually closer to the campus, so anybody who's coming in by train will have an even easier time, I think.
I think
the yellow line runs past the train station, in fact.
It does.
So. You can take cabs, but only if you want your employer to pay more money. General notes, in Portland and on PSU campus, smoking is prohibited. I know this is unpopular here. I am sorry to be the bearer of what I consider okay news. You cannot smoke in public buildings, and yes, the campus specifically is trying to protect people with asthma, other conditions, whatever. And they also ask you, make sure if you are going to be smoking, please don't smoke right outside the door. Please don't smoke underneath an air intake. Please don't smoke right outside the window. Basically, that's still kind of smoking inside, guys.
No public nudity?
I don't.
I just thought I'd put that out there.
I don't, whatever.
I decided it was important to tell people that we shouldn't have public nudity.
It's quite legal.
Thanks, Keith. Drinking if you are under 21, however, is not.
It's quite legal. We have the world's largest naked bike ride every year in Portland.
So moving on, possible day trips, possible things that we could do. There are lots of things to do around Portland. There's lots, like I showed you earlier, there's lots to do in Portland itself. There's also a lot that we can do around Portland. A few points that I'm going to hit on, the River Gorge, which is one of my favorite places. Mount Hood is another one of my favorite places. Mount St. Helens, if you want to see an active volcano, which I don't think it's going to erupt anytime soon, but you never know. And the Oregon coast.
So this also means we have quite a few options we're going to have to filter down. So if people have strong opinions on what they would like to see done as a day trip and would like to help with the...
So
you want to go again?
No.
Oh, well.
Whet your appetite. The Columbia Gorge is full of waterfalls. It's very pretty. There are lots of hiking opportunities for people like me who considers a good leisure activity something that I can easily carry a wine glass in and not spill it. There are also very nice things to see and do in the gorge that don't require strenuous physical activity.
It's also a great bike trail through the Columbia Gorge, about 40 miles long of off-road biking. It's on a paved road, a paved section of a thing that used to be a car road that's now been reserved for bicycles. So yep. It's really nice to have taken a 30 or 40 mile ride without any cars through beautiful waterfalls.
Mm-hmm. Multnomah Falls is our most popular waterfall destination. It's very large. There are not pictures to do it justice. It is amazingly gorgeous. It is in the Columbia River Gorge. That would be one of the stops that we would make, absolutely, if this is part of our day trip. I'm moving.
We know also, you like waterfalls, Patty.
You gave me the mic and the clicker. We also have Mount Hood. This is the mountain that you can see in all of the pictures of Portland. You'll see You'll see a mountain picking out of all the landscapes in Portland. That is Mount Hood. That's what we're really proud of. We have Timberline Lodge, which has some amazing views of the Hood Valley in general. There are other really awesome things we can do with Mount Hood. Mount St. Helens is the active volcano. It's kind of quiet right now, which is good. This is the one that erupted in 1980 and caused a lot of destruction. Yes, and that's possible. Yes. Then we have the Oregon coast. There's really nothing I can say to describe the beauty of the Oregon coast. It's not really a good California beach.
Nothing
coast.
To say, next slide.
Moving on.
What's that?
Temperature of the water?
Temperature about 10 degrees.
We get the Alaska water currents down in there. So it's not really a good swimming beach.
It's great for swimming as long as you're really hardy.
This is also from the guy who likes talking about the nude bike ride. So take that for what it's worth. Moving on. I'm doing it.
I think this is the point where Patty turns over to me. to give you the details about.
We've been booted.
Because I had to write the slide, so I think it's my fault, my problem to present them as well.
Yes,
so one of the main concerns that's always been brought up whenever we talk about a DebConf in the United States is immigration and concerns about coming into the country if you are a national of another country. So we just wanted to make sure everybody knew what the facts were. Let you know what we're going to do to help with that, assuage your fears regarding getting in and not being harassed on your way through. The U.S. really does welcome visitors. And by the way, thank you, Jimmy. A lot of this content is recycled from the DebConf 10 presentation when we had a DebConf previously in New York. The reality is that not much has changed between now and then, and so these slides with a little bit of touch-up have been repurposed for this. But the U.S. it's very welcoming to visitors in reality, although there's a lot of political rhetoric around immigration. In practice, most people who do come to something like a DebConf, any sort of a conference, have no difficulty getting in. Of course, they want to make sure you don't come to stay. So any of our Latin American friends in particular may find that that's one of the concerns as far as immigration. And we are here to help. We've been talking with several people. We have some folks in Seattle that are part of the Debian community, some lawyers who have experience in immigration. I believe we are hoping to, although Jimmy, I think we probably need to talk about details. I don't know if Franklin is willing to help us again specifically with that. Well, we can give Jimmy the mic for a comment.
The lawyer we use for DebConf 10 is currently a public defender in a county in Texas and not taking private clients, but I haven't asked him if he can do this for free. We can ask.
But yeah, we're expecting that there's going to be some legal resources as well as just carry over from our experience in DC 10. We'll have the invitation letter and that sort of things that we'll reuse. So if anybody's in from a country where they need a visa to the U.S. and they know that that's going to be an issue, we should, although I haven't checked where the visa at debconf.org address goes today, we should make sure that that's set up and then people can get in touch with us as soon as possible so we can help smooth any issues there. For the most part, you're not going to find problems getting into the U.S. If you are concerned about getting into DC 10, look around you in the community, find people from other countries from your country who also went to DC 10. Ask them how that was, and you'll get a good idea of what the experience is going to be like for DC 14. Of course, there's always concerns leading up to it because there's uncertainty around what you're going to find. But I think everybody there were a few visa denials, again, specifically from Latin American countries. But by and large, visa rejections were not a major issue any more than they have been for other countries where we had held DebConf.
We had plenty of Latin American visa approvals, too.
That's right. That's worth pointing out that, by and large, even people from Latin America did have no problems getting in there. So we'll be providing invitation letters, explaining visa types, providing application hints. This is another one of those recycled slides. There is some content here, which I've also cut and pasted, about what the rules are. If you're from Mexico, Bermuda, and Canada, those countries are not part of the visa waiver program. They each have special requirements, special rules for them, which mean you effectively don't need a visa at all. The visa waiver program, if you are a national of any of these countries, it applies. It being a permanent resident is not sufficient. You must actually be a citizen of those countries. Which encompasses much of the EU, if not all of it, as well as a few countries here and there. Outside of those countries, even if you are from one of the other countries, the visa waiver program process, there's an online application. You can apply early. It's straightforward to do that, and you can update the information as you need to. You can do address changes and so forth, and it doesn't impact your ability to get the visa waiver. Basically more of the same. Apply early so that if there are any problems, we can help you with them, although for most people there won't be. If you're not from a visa waiver program country, you will need a visa. There is a process involved in that. I did not have time to copy all of the information from the DC-10 presentation into this one before getting up here. There's quite extensive information that we have available in our
shared collective institutional knowledge about this issue, and we will be providing any assistance that's required. Jimmy, you have the mic, like you want to say something.
Yeah, the DC-10 website page on the visa stuff was written by our lawyer, and I'm sure an updated version, which will be almost identical, will be on their site.
So, again, as I said, I don't know that visa@debconf.org is currently up and operational. We will make sure that goes somewhere appropriate. Maybe somebody while this talk is going can point that at me and teach me a lesson.
For the people that needed to sign one of the visa waiver program for DebConf 12 in Nicaragua, would that still be valid for next year or?
So, I mean, you'd have to
move out of the window because it's 2 year and.
Sure, I mean, you'd have to look at your exact timeline on what it is, but I think if it's 2 years, then it probably wouldn't, since DebConf 14 is going to be in August, and I expect it's going to be 2 years being exactly 24 months, which means probably just missed it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it would be nice if that weren't the case, but it is what it is.
But so if anybody got a visa for DebConf 10, you should check your passport, because if the passport and visa, or even if just the visa is valid for DebConf 14 and you have a valid passport, just check the dates. If it's still valid, you can use it.
Sure, because some visas, in fact, the standard visa that's issued to citizens of Mexico is a 10-year visa. So if you're Mexican and you came to DebConf 10, chances are you still have a valid visa or travel in and out of the U.S. often enough that it's not a hassle anyway. The last point I wanted to mention was border seizures. I did talk about this in the DebConf bid process because it is an issue that's near and dear to our hearts. We don't want our laptops seized at the border. It's something that there's been a lot of discussion about in the media and the fact that, well, this is something the United States has been doing, mainly looking for things that are not likely to be found on any of our laptops. Nevertheless, it is a concern because we don't want governments prying into our laptops, taking them out of our hands and searching them out of our control. Well, while that is something that does happen at the U.S. border in some cases, the fact is that if you are traveling into the U.S. and if you are entering the U.S. through a port which is located in the Ninth Circuit District, which is basically includes all of Washington, California, and Oregon, as well as a few other states, in practice, there's no real issue there because the courts have ruled that no, it is not constitutional to engage in those kinds of searches. And while there's still that complicated legal process in the United States of reconciling what different courts have decided and deciding who was actually right, that does mean that for the time being, traveling into, if you're flying into any of these cities or if you're, for instance, crossing on by train from Vancouver, there's not actually any risk of having your laptop seized or searched or anything like that when you're crossing. And I have a reference here in the to an article that goes into greater detail about that.
I got that as well. For the country as a whole, there was a government study. They looked at 2009 and 2010. Out of 50 million people roughly entering, 685, that's like a two-year period, they had 685 examined, which is about 0.001%, and only I think 41 or 71 seized. It was less than 0.0001%. So it's not actually like something that happens much. It's basically when they have a reason to be concerned that's separate from just you're coming to visit DebConf.
Sure, sure. Or if you're Jacob Applebaum trying to get home, and then
yes.
So, back over to Patty.
Oh, right. I thought I'd be helpful and help you guys fit in before you even got there. So I was going to give you a pronunciation guide for some of the harder things to pronounce when you make it to Portland. I invite you to repeat after me. Our television show is called Portlandia.
Portlandia.
Our river is called Willamette.
Willamette.
The suburb is called Tualatin. The road is called Terwilliger. My neighborhood is called Multnomah. The other suburb is called Tigard. And the street is called Cooch. Good job. Good job. We do have some important terms that I think it's necessary for you guys to know these. We have the Portland Saturday Market, which is actually open Saturday and Sunday. We have the Max, and we have the streetcar, They are not the same thing. They do not cost the same. They do not go to the same places, but they look kind of similar in that they run on the road. We have the river, which separates the two halves of Portland. And then we have the river, which separates Washington from Oregon. Walk versus hike is a very hard one if you don't know Portlanders. They're virtually the same thing unless there's paved road. If there is any kind of pavement, it doesn't matter what the elevation is, it is still a walk. It doesn't matter how long it is, it doesn't matter how high it goes. If there is pavement, it is a walk, not a hike. A good parking space may be on the other side of the city, and you take the max to wherever you're going. That's normal. And a couple of blocks, do not believe him. I'll just say, a couple of blocks and choosing to wear high heels. No, a couple of blocks could potentially mean 20 blocks, and don't you dare tell them it wasn't. That's it.
So I think we might have a little bit of time left for questions. We have 1 minute left for questions. Quickly, quickly.
Clearly, I covered everything.
Will it be good?
We'll be fine.
It's...
We'll be fine.
Any other questions? I was pretty sure I covered everything. Oh, you guys.
Do you have the exact dates already?
No. But, however, it will be in the latter half of August 2014. So either the second to the last week or the last week of August in 2014.
We are in debate.
We thought we had the date set.
I'm so sorry.
Yes, sir.
Ready?
So I hear you can't bring real cheese into America.
Right. So I think the comment was you cannot bring real cheese into America. Is that what you said? Yes. So non-pasteurized cheese, technically not legal to bring into the United States.
Nobody ever brings it in.
Yeah.
Hard
it's unheard of.
Fine.
Sorry?
Hard-aged cheese.
Yes, hard-aged cheese is also okay. But unpasteurized soft cheese, no. Pincho.
I wanted to ask if there will be DebCamp.
Oh, that was a good point. So the question was there going to be a DebCamp? We are not doing a separate DebCamp. We are proposing a format for the conference which will run across two weekends, so it'll be about 8 or 9 days from end to end, not counting travel days, I believe is the goal. And so we are going to try to plan into the schedule some specific hack time and those kinds of things, but there's not going to be a separate week for DebCamp.
More questions?
No more questions? Really? See you in Portland.